Give them a clap.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. I must say it's such a privilege and an honor for me to have the opportunity to come up here and have you guys be so welcoming and welcoming us in here to share what God is doing in our lives. Some success stories we could not do this on our own. It's through the love of Jesus that we are able to be up here talking to you guys. Just get my slideshow going. It's okay. All right. Well, how many people have heard of Teen Challenge? Lots of us, eh? And is there any sponsors here? Anybody sponsoring? Okay, cool. Well, for those of you who don't know, Teen Challenge is a 12-month faith-based drug and alcohol rehab program. Our mission is to help men and women overcome addictions and lead a healthy life. We believe that our students find wholeness in physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. This is a little history of our founder, David Wilkerson. He was a pastor from Pennsylvania who read an article in Life magazine back in 1958 about seven teenagers. They were gang members on trial for murder. David felt that the Holy Spirit drew him to New York to preach to them. So he went to New York, entered the courtroom, and asked the judge for permission to tell him something, but the judge ejected him from the court. Upon leaving, someone asked David Wilkerson what he was holding in his hand, and he held up a Bible, and they took a photo of him, and he was in the paper. He became recognized as the Bible preacher who interrupted the gang trial. He began his ministry in New York and encountered a man named Nicky Cruz, which is up in the top right there, who felt threatened by David. He was a gang leader, and he felt that David was only there to break up their gang. Nicky held a knife up to David and asked, "What's to stop me from killing you right now?" And David said to him, "You could cut me into 1,000 pieces and lay them in the street, and every piece will still love you. And God loves you too, Nicky." And that probably caught him off guard. He's probably never experienced that kind of unconditional love in his life. Eventually, David got through to Nicky Cruz, and there's a picture of him trading in his rumble bat for a Bible. So this is our center. It's out by Allen. It's about 45 minutes southeast of Saskatoon. It's a 10-acre campus. We got 24 beds. We have a gym, a cafeteria, skating rink in the winter. Got a nice big barn and woodworking shop and chapel. So a typical day there, we wake up at supposedly 6:30. We have devos at 7 and then breakfast a half an hour later at 7:30, followed by chores. And then we have chapel at 9 and then Bible study up until lunch. And then after lunch, we have a work detail. We have weekly counseling and a weekly group meetings. We have a spiritual formation coach. And I think up to now, since the center opened, we have had 122 graduates now, which is awesome. And right now, so we're down to 19 students, and we're getting two more on Tuesday. we're going to, I'll call the guys up. We'll do some songs for you. Well, thanks, guys. So I brought with me four of the guys. they're all going to share with you today. And those pictures are taken on our intake day. You can see some broken men, some lifeless eyes. Definitely not the same guys that I'm looking at today. Yeah, we got the updated versions out on the table over there. when you come into the program, it's not easy. You're dedicating a year of your life to you take your phone. You have limited access to the outside world, you're fighting addiction, but the best part is you're developing a new relationship with God. Like it says, you get immediate removal of all addictive substances, including cigarettes, daily structured program, which I was telling you about earlier, limited off-property privileges. We get an 8-hour pass in our fifth month, and then gradually goes up to a 53-hour pass in your last couple months. And the outside contact, pretty much no internet unless you have to deal with financial problems or whatever. Phone is you get 2 phone calls a week for 20 minutes, and that's it. And that's tough when you have children and you have family. But, a year isn't that long when you're dedicating the rest of your life to being the person that God was meant for you to be. We'll have Kyler come up and share with us his testimony.
Thanks, Chase. Yeah. I didn't know I was going first, but first of all, I just want to thank Gary and Marilyn just for having us over. It was beautiful. This church clearly is supportive of anyone in the kingdom of God, and you guys are all awesome. Each one of you matter in here. You all have your part. So I just want to thank you guys all for that. So yeah, I've been in the program for just over 11 months now, and I can tell you I look a lot better than that other guy there. But drugs can totally change your life, and 11 months ago I was not the same man at all. I was, luckily you didn't have to meet me, but, so I guess I'm just going to start from the beginning. Ironically, I am the only teen in Teen Challenge right now, but that'll change in a week. I'll be 20 years old, so, my name's Kyler. I'm a new creation in Christ. So actually, Paul, who was leading worship here, I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to a Bible camp in Loon Lake with Lloydminster Gospel Fellowship, and Paul there was the guest speaker, and this was before I got into all the trouble, and I was living a little Christian godly life, and I actually got to meet Paul, and he really poured into my life, and now I'm here, so it's funny. Addiction is not prejudice. Grew up in a Christian home, had everything given to me, was introduced to Jesus and considered myself a Christian. But a lot changed very quickly, too, and not like I had planned it to go. Had a very blessed life. Things were perfect through my young eyes. There were some battles that my dad faced, though. Just kind of want to touch on that. My dad committed suicide when I was 8 years old due to depression, and I think he suffered with addiction as well, and he tried going to a few secular rehab programs, but I really wish he could have came to somewhere that he could find the Lord Jesus to set him free, because that's, I know it could have been a different story for him, but I'd like to say that he's looking down and he's proud of me, and that I don't have to make the same mistakes he did. He abandoned our family, and this affected us in ways that I can't and don't want to explain, but we did stick together. Things changed and this hurt. So we moved to Lloydminster. My sister went to university shortly after, and I felt like an only child. I attended a new school in this new city. I went from having a bunch of friends to having zero friends, having no sense of belonging. I was young and vulnerable, and my relationship with my Heavenly Father was the last thing on my mind. You know, I really looked forward to going to Bible camp, but that was only like 1 week in the summer and stuff. And other than that, it was just up and down in my relationship with the Lord. So I started facing a few battles of my own, and I got attacked with boredom and depression in my free time. And I was very lonely. Eventually seeking attention, I found it. In school, I got introduced to some friends, and I felt like they really cared about me, felt like they were willing to give me time where no one else would. And then the first year of high school, I got introduced to cigarettes and alcohol, and I got invited to my first party. Hiding it from my mother, I snuck out of the house, and that night I tried marijuana and got desensitized to my sin for the first time. My new habits started to control me, and I didn't even know it. My grades and attendance at school started to be affected, and this is when my mom found out what I was doing. She attempted to discipline me, but I refused to listen. This pushed our relationship apart. Making the choice to go party, I went looking for some marijuana, and my dealer said, "If you really want to party, you should try some cocaine." And I could have said, "No, you always have that choice. God gives the free will." But that night, I thought it'd be cool, and I decided to try some cocaine, and it was cut with crystal meth. So that immediately just changed my life. I was 15 years old, and trying this drug for the first time, and boom, it gave me everything I wanted. All my problems were gone. I was just exactly who I thought I was, a person that mattered now, and, you know, I'm sure, yeah, it was just kind of living that high life, but I never wanted to stop getting high after this and using alcohol to numb my pain and whatever it was. And I was skipping school all the time and just running from everything. This decision would destroy me. But like I said, along with the high, it came the fall, and I hit a very low point. And I needed help. So eventually, my mom just said I had enough, and she made a tough love call and took me to a rehab for youth called Rock Solid Refuge. So I went there for all the wrong reasons. I wanted a quick fix, and I was not truly ready to surrender my life and my will. The program was really good, if you guys have heard of it, but I just wasn't ready for it. And I had my 16th birthday in there, and I took the easy way out, had a bad day, and just decided to leave. I regret that decision a lot. So I'd stayed with this guy, and then he got me a bus ride home, and mom said, "You can come home, but I wanted to go party." Within not even 24 hours of me getting home, I was drinking again. I had bought this drug called MDMA, and I took 4 pills that night. I started to have an overdose later in the night, and I remember I was just pushing my friend. I was telling him, I think I need help, and he turned over, and he wouldn't even listen to me. He didn't care. He just, you know, and that's kind of, I'm happy to be in a church group who's willing to invite us into their home and literally feel like home, like, these people have become closer than a lot of my family members have throughout one day. I never got that in my past life either than from godly people. So thank you. So I was overdosing on this drug, and I had the Lord in my heart the whole time, and I thought these drugs are going to take my life, and it kind of was a wake-up call. So I got in a cold shower, and I just started praying, and you know what, I'm here today. I thought I was going to die. I don't know if it was going to happen or not, but I believe prayer saved my life, and I'm just going to stand by that. And so thank you, God. I was saved by grace that night. Even though I turned my back on him for all these years, he never turned his back on me. When I needed him, he was there, and I see that now. Fortunately, I was only 16 years old, and you'd like to say I would have learned my lesson, but I didn't, you know, I wish I didn't have to struggle that much. I could have got this all figured out when I went to Rock Solid, but I had to deal with this dark past for so long, and I abused his grace, and that left me hopeless. You know, I wasn't the same person that I grew up to be. I grew up as a nice kid, you know. I wanted to grow up. I had goals, having a family, having a nice career, having everything, and just having a great, abundant life that Christ says he can give, but I started using drugs and alcohol and seeking all the things of the world that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what he did in my life. And so I started using drugs when I was 14, and within 5 years, just hit rock bottom, and well, could have gotten worse, but yeah, I ended up doing a lot of criminal activity, selling, using, stealing, doing whatever, just to support this way of living. My addiction brought me places I never wanted to go. Just, yeah, I was, you know, before this program, I was getting to a point where I didn't care about my life anymore. I didn't think I deserved living, too. I was such an ugly person, just full of guilt, and God didn't come to condemn, so I knew the enemy was just trying to eat away at me, and I was ready to just kill myself, and I was trying to slowly with drugs and alcohol, and you know, I had no hope, and I was convinced that killing myself was the only way out of this hellish life that I'd given myself. And but I prayed a prayer through all this, and I can remember it. That prayer changed my life, and it was true surrender. I think it was truly just laying down at the cross and just, you know, I was at my house, but I was just sick of this, and I had a revelation too. I was actually with my friends, and I said, you know, we're at the beach and everyone was having a good time, but I felt so empty. You know, the things that the world can offer you, they don't fill. They're just temporary, and they don't even last, even if it was awesome. You only get it for 80, 100 years maximum. So, I mean, it's just empty living, eh? And I seen this all. God just totally worked in me, the Holy Spirit, and I believe that's because my mom never stopped praying for me. You know, like, she, you know, never give up on anyone in addiction. There's, you know, prayer does make a difference, and I know you guys are a strong congregation. We got the most powerful prayers last night from you guys, and I know that they changed lives. And, you know, I would be crying normally, but I got the joy of the Lord, so it's pretty awesome. I traded in my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. And yeah, so through this emptiness, I was finding that, you know, Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart. And that's what my mom said to me when I went home later. And I said, you know, I think I'm done. And she said, you know, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, just waiting for his child to come home. It's like the prodigal son, you know, his father was waiting with his arms wide open. And that was God. God never wanted to punish me for this. He just wanted me to turn and to come back to him. You know, that's the beautiful thing of it. Even in the darkest parts of where, you know, God can redeem. And yeah, so I ultimately needed Jesus. And he really started to work in me. I started to read the Bible here and there. And then I thought, well, that night actually that I came home, I ended up calling my uncle. And he said that he did the Teen Challenge program too. And he thinks it would be an awesome place. So I applied online to Teen Challenge. And that was awesome. I worshiped the Lord even that night, which I hadn't done in a very long time. And it was beautiful. I felt the Spirit enter me. And I really had to make this decision because it was life or death. Like, some people live to be, you know, 50 years old, addiction. And I wouldn't have made it there. I would have made it maybe another year, maybe not even, right? Like, I was very lucky. God called me at the right time, just like he's calling each one of us. And so, yeah, I applied to Teen Challenge. And there's a battle getting in here, but that doesn't matter anymore because I'm here. And yeah, I walked up the steps on September 26th in 2017. And I made a vow to stay 3 months, and I plan to finish the program, and I'll be done in 1 month. So God is good. He just totally changed my heart of stone. And haven't looked behind me, I'm looking ahead. And yeah, I plan, you know, I sold a few guitars in my addiction. I did lessons and never really sang in my life before this program. And as soon as I come in here, I see the chapel, all these instruments, and I just seen just something light up, and I knew I needed to pick it up again. And now God's just got me here, and I plan to go to worship school one day and just learn how to use that as a ministry, and maybe do some, you know, I want to go to a YWAM where I can just go preach and just praise and just, you know, live life abundantly. You know, there's a feeling you get when you worship, and it's, you know, the Holy Spirit. So, and I feel that here today. So I now have a hope and a bright future, just like Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." I know that to be a fact. You know, I'm confident that God has my back. I'm closer to my family than I've ever been, and I'm free from the chains of addiction, and ultimately, I've been able to forgive even my father for what happened with him, and I don't even, that's, all that's just just nothing compared to what I have now. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I believe God's made this my time to be a new creation. And I really feel new. Like, I've been sober for 11 months. That's a pretty good achievement. I never thought I'd be there ever again. I thought I was going to die in addiction, right? And I was okay with that. That's how sick I was. I was okay with that, you know? And so thank you, Lord. So thank you guys for all your prayers and support and, you know, everything. Because if this program doesn't get the government funding or nothing, right? I didn't know any of that stuff before coming in here. But churches like you guys support this ministry. And if you never did that and the doors weren't open and I had no place to go, you know, people like me wouldn't get a second chance in life. So thank you sincerely. God bless.
Thanks, Kyler. Ed, might as well come up and share your testimony. So, here's Eddie.
Good morning. First, I'd like to just say it's a really blessing and an honor and a privilege to stand in front of this congregation today, and I'd just like to say that it's nice to be in a church where the Holy Spirit's roaring down the aisles like a lion, and I'm actually very impressed. It's not every day the churches are still have this fire inside of them, so thank you. I was born August 6, 1986 at St. Paul's Hospital in Saskatoon. I came from a good home. I never grew up around drugs, alcohol, or violence. My dad had worked as a chef. My dad worked lots and still does, 6 days a week, beginning in the afternoon, and wouldn't get home until late in that evening, which forced my mom, Cheryl, to take on both roles in the house as a mother and father. I began to rebel against my parents after my grandpa died on my dad's side at 97 of emphysema. I had very little respect for my parents or their rules, and at times became violent. Police were usually called, and on one occasion in June of 2000, I did some serious damage to my parents' house. By the time I heard that familiar knock, I had a knife and refused to hand it over. I got pepper sprayed, tackled to the ground, and put in handcuffs. I was charged and taken to Kilburn Hall Juvenile Detention. Throughout my 4 years of high school, I had more trips to the principal's office than I can count for fighting a lack of respect for some of my teachers. For the most part, I never got into drugs or alcohol in high school. I can count on one hand how many times I smoked marijuana. And, you know, a lot of my friends, when they graduated high school, you know, they went to school, got a trade, went to university. You know, I thought I'd take a year off. I never did go back. And I discovered alcohol 2 or 3 months before I graduated high school at a party in the north end of Saskatoon. I was instantly hooked. And after my graduation, I began to drink full time. Basically, I worked to drink and go to parties. As my social group grew extensively, my life began to spin out of control. And at 19, I was an alcoholic heavily addicted to ecstasy and marijuana. And on January of 2006, I entered the Teen Challenge program for the first time. I was there for all the wrong reasons and didn't have a true desire for change, discharging myself only after 4 weeks. And between January of 2006 and mid-November of 2009, I entered the Teen Challenge program 4 times, with the other 3 times never spending more than 2.5 weeks there. I always idolized and looked up to drug dealers and gang members. And at 23, I began to deal drugs full-time, marijuana, ecstasy, and cocaine. This went on for about a year. In that time, the bar scene became a second home as I gained new contacts and acquaintances in the lifestyle I was leading. And in my mind, I was living the high life. I never wanted this to end. In October of 2010, a friend of mine and someone I looked up to got into a fight with a rival gang member outside of Stans, a bar on Roos Street. Got stabbed several times, bleeding to death shortly after. And in the same evening, another friend of mine was walking down the Delmini Highway and was hit by a truck and was killed instantly. This left me in shock, laying in my bed, reevaluating my life. I knew I needed a change and a way out. I got hired as a line cook at Fairmont Hot Springs in BC. And for over 4 years, I went on a geographical cure, working and living across Western Canada and up north in the territories. In July of 2015, I left the community of Iqaluit Nunavut in the Arctic After living there for 8 months and caught a flight to Edmonton, I had saved up about $10,000 and had a plan on finding a place in the West End. But after checking into my hotel, I went out for drinks and to the casino, and that night I was introduced to crystal meth by two escorts. This drug took over my life and owned me as the cycle began to repeat itself. And for 2.5 years, I moved back to Saskatoon and began selling the drug and using it daily, associating with high-level drug traffickers, escorts, and gang members from different organizations. I know firsthand the kind of impact this drug can have. Impact this drug can have on someone's life and communities across Canada. Crystal meth feeds a lifestyle of theft, prostitution, rape, extreme violence, gang torture, and murder, almost robbing me of my sanity and ultimately my soul. As I lived every day, hoping today would be the day this drug would kill me before someone else did, and finally ending this nightmare I've been living. The final months leading up to me completing my application for Teen Challenge, I was on the verge of being homeless again, having second thoughts due to having warrants for my arrest for breaching my probation. So I made a new plan of moving to a different city. Just one problem, I couldn't put the pipe down and ended up in a brief detox unit. I had a plan of moving to a different city because I could never see myself walking to a police station, turning myself in, because the way I lived my life, I just couldn't do that. So I paint a picture for you. It was Monday morning, mid-December, it was cold. I purchased a bus ticket, and I was going to leave and go to Brandon, Manitoba. I decided to go out and get some meth because that was my drug of choice, and I grabbed a bottle, thinking I was going to get on that bus, but instead I ended up in the trap house where my friends were. And I was left in this house with a bunch of Terror Squad gang members. They had guns. They were guarding their doors because, you know, leading that kind of lifestyle, you kind of expect a rival gang to come kick in your door and rob you. And I must have really freaked these guys out. And at one point, they must have thought I was a cop because they all took off except for one guy, the host, the guy that ran the house. And he looked at me and he said, "Man, you got to go, man. Everyone's gone. It's because of you." And I believe that it's by the grace of God that those guys left instead of taking me into the basement. It's by the grace of God I got to walk out of that host that night. So amen to that. And as I left that host that night, I ended up in a brief detox unit in Saskatoon. And everything changed. Some things changed in my life when I went there. And on the cold morning of December 27th at 40 below, I walked from detox to police station and did something I've never done before. I turned myself in. I got my criminal record check done, which completed my application for Teen Challenge. I was given my own room at the Salvation Army, giving me a safe place to stay until I got my intake date. And on the morning of January 30th, the director of Teen Challenge, Brent Cooper, picked me up. You know, I shouldn't be standing here today, in your church. You know, what I was doing a year ago, how I spent a good portion of my life. You know, I'm 32, but I worked real hard for 20 years with a life full of pain and suffering. I chose this life. I may not have chose to be an addict, but I chose to hang out with people in the gangs. I chose to look for, I was chasing something that I guess was possibly never going to happen, but I chose this life, you know, and I'm a firm believer now that because 'cause Christ came to earth, he carried that cross, he had his flesh ripped from his body, and he took the nails for me and spilt his blood on that cross is the only reason I'm here to tell you my story today. And also, I'm 8 months clean of crystal meth, 7 months clean of everything, including cigarettes. And as of May 28th of this year, I'm no longer on probation. Something I never thought I'd hear myself say in the same sentence. I lived a fast-paced life that took me to some of the highest mountains in Canada, breathed in the bone-chilling air of the Arctic to my final rock bottom, stuck in a vicious cycle and a crystal meth addiction that stole everything from me and anyone I ever cared about. I'd like to thank you guys for having us in your church today. Also, I'd like to thank the Billets and Special thanks to Gary and Marlene for taking us into their home. I'm not used to nice people like that. Or, you know, you invite me into your home, your beautiful home. He takes us into his garage last night and wanted to show us his rat rod. And all I could look at was his 98 mint condition Mustang there, convertible. And I was thinking in my head, oh, I'd love for this guy to take me out for a ride in this. And you know what? I didn't ask, but the Lord answered a quick prayer from my mind. So we had a nice little drive last night. Me and Kyler, he's turning into a brother. So I'd like to thank the sponsors and everyone who supports Teen Challenge, because just like Kyler, you know, me, I was on the street, and this program asked for $1,100 admission fee, which is really pennies considering the treatment that we get there. But, you know, at this point in my addiction, if I had a dollar to my name, it wouldn't be going to get help. It'd be going to invest back into what I was doing and the lifestyle I was leading. So, you know, anybody that prays for this program or pours their heart into it or just sends us cards of support, donates food, anything, it's the reason I'm here today. You know, I had nothing. They took me in. You know, I shouldn't be here. So I think to thank you for that. And, you know, and since I've been in the program, I have a pretty interesting story, and God's been putting it on my heart to write an autobiography. I can't believe I can say this, but I now look forward to the future and what God has in store for my life. And I'd like to leave you with a verse. You know, I found in my devotions a few weeks ago, that's 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16, that says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks, Eddie. Those are such powerful testimonies. It's not easy to share these things in front of you guys, I tell you. But through Christ who strengthens us, here we are. It's amazing. Well, I'll call up Joel and John, and we'll do a quick Q&A for you guys. So, you ready? Good. I'll start with you then. So what brought you into the Teen Challenge?
35 years of drug and alcohol abuse and turning my back on God over and over again. I was raised in a Christian home, and I never knew salvation, never was taught, and I never searched for it either. And after 35 years of sin, and the enemy slowly taking piece by piece, ended up in a spot where I almost lost my soul, and gave my, finally submitted my life to Jesus, and through that I came to Teen Challenge.
Awesome. So what would you say is the best part about being in the program?
Like I never did devotions before. I had no understanding of God. I never took the time. I was all on my own will. I didn't live for God. I was living for myself. I was living in the flesh. I was living in the world, and it finally caught up with me. I was able to maintain a lifestyle and support a drug habit The things that I've learned at Teen Challenge, and just being able to be a, totally immersed in God's word and in around godly people. People and coming to outreaches like this and seeing the smiles going through, coming into the door and being around real people with real love and God's love. It has made, I'm free. I know now when people used to talk about freedom and being saved, I can honestly say that I'm saved, and I have. and now understand what that means and enjoy it totally.
So what would you say is the hardest part about being in the center?
There's nothing hard about it. I'm halfway through, and it's going so fast. the first couple of months were hard. I've never had to really answer to anybody. I enjoyed the schedule right away. Like, when I escaped my life, I went to my mom's place. My mom's 85 years old, and I had totally destroyed that relationship. And eventually, when I gave my life to Jesus, He took away my addiction. That night, it was gone. I was so done with that life. And I showed up eventually at my mom's, and just being able to, like, God started waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and He still does, and reading devotion. He wants me in the Word, and I'm not tired. At the center, He'll wake me up at that, and I'll pray and think about the last outreach and the outreach coming and what I'm going to say, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and I would have had nowhere to go. I wouldn't have had nowhere to go. It's an awesome missionary.
Awesome. Is there a scripture you'd like to share with us?
I did decide on one from when Peter was leading worship. Is it Peter?
Paul.
Speaking on freedom, and I remember so well the first outreach I went on. It was to Herbert, and in my work, I worked in the oil field, so I was on the road a lot, and isolated, and that's when I really fell hard into my addiction, and I was numbing pains, and that first outreach to Herbert, I felt the freedom of, I was able to go on the road and enjoy it and look out the window and enjoy God's creation, In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And then when I got to that outreach and the love that, I'm total strangers. and you're supporting me and my recovery from the terrible choices that I made. And you're not making any judgment on me or us. And it's beautiful. And I thank you. And God bless you.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, Joel, so you're graduating in a month. That's awesome, you and Kyler. What brought you into the program?
I started drinking and smoking weed as a little kid. And eventually it led me down to the road to using crystal meth. And about this time last year, I was waiting to get into the program. And I was on antipsychosis medication and just full of fear and paranoia. I didn't even know what was real anymore, and I didn't expect to live much longer, so I'm glad I came, and it's been the best choice I've made in years, ever probably, so...
So how has God been speaking into your life through your journey in the program?
He's really revealed to me just how merciful and forgiving he is, and how much grace God has is just amazing. And just I have a relationship with my family again. The meth just robbed me of that. Like, I was so isolated, I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I just was losing everything that I cared about. I was starting to not... My heart was so cold, and I didn't care about anybody anymore. And now God's starting to restore my heart, give me a new heart. So, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing to have brothers in the center to fellowship with and learn to socialize again with a sober mind. So it's amazing.
Is there a scripture you'd like to share with us today?
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thanks, Joel. Addiction isn't just a man problem. We desperately need a women's center in Saskatchewan, and we're getting one. There's one that's pretty much in the finishing touches of being built in just outside of Hague, Saskatchewan. And that's, I think, the most recent picture of it. It's a 26-bed facility, but only, like Kyler said, we're not a government-run facility. This is all through donations and through the generosity of churches and sponsors like you people. So thank you all for that. I've never gone to church before I came to Teen Challenge. I struggled. I came in March of 2017 and graduated March of 2018, and now I get to share with you guys as an intern at the center. I'll be done in 2 weeks, which is a bit scary for me, but you know, through Christ I have strength, and I've been tested and I've passed very successfully. I have no cravings for alcohol, and it's just thank you God. That was my missing link, right there. The Jesus factor. That's the void that I was missing in my life. And I never knew it until I came into the center. And it became really obvious. So how can you help? There's the option of becoming a sponsor. And that's $40 a month. And with that, you'll sponsor a student, you'll get a photo and a brief description of them, a quarterly progress update, which they write for you. You get an invitation to their grad, and you also have the opportunity to write and encourage to them, which means a lot to us. It's not easy spending those 12 months in the center, but when we find out that somebody we've never met before is out there praying for us and supporting us, it really helps. So I encourage you guys to meet us at the table after this and talk to us if you have any questions. And do we have time for another song, or is it getting... Okay, we're just going to do one more song and then... hand it back to you. Awesome.